Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 11 to chapter 28 and verse 68. Yes, it is a very long section. Curses and blessings. God instructs the Hebrews, Moses tells the Hebrews that when they cross over the Jordan and set up their camps in the land, then they must divide the tribes into two, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, to pronounce the blessings of the law and the curses of the law for Israel. Now we're securely in the days of the Old Covenant. Let us be clear about that. So these things strictly don't apply to us. They belonged to Israel in the land in the Old Covenant. But let us do as we always do. Look at these things for Israel's sake, as it were, and then seek to apply any leading principles we can, any principles here, to ourselves in the New Covenant. Now, everything is spelled out here in great detail. You can summarize it. I'm summarizing it, but don't remember that Israel did not have it summarized. The people of Israel had to listen to the tribes, the Levites and so on, pronouncing these curses and pronouncing these blessings. There was no skipping it. There was no summarizing. There was no shortening it. It was spelled out in detail, and it is in detail, too. And if you read the curses, they're harrowing. They're harrowing. It's all spelled out in the utmost detail. There's a gravity, there's a heaviness, there's a weight about this. Blessing, yes, for obedience, but curses for disobedience. It's all to do with obedience to the commands. It's everything to do with the covenant. It's the terms of the covenant. It's keeping the law. It's obeying that covenant that God has given to Israel. And there's a tremendous encouragement here. If they will obey God, immense blessings for them. If they disobey, though, they will come into the greatest of possible curses. And the weight here is definitely on the curse. So Israel in the future could never say, well, we were left in ignorance. We didn't know the terms of the covenant. We didn't know what was expected of us. God had brought this people out from slavery, delivered them, given them his covenant, was going to give them the land, and now their duty and their privilege was obedience. And all the people had to ratify this. It says here that all the people had to ratify and speak of this covenant and say this was there, and then all the people shall say amen. Yes, they recognized it. Then all the people shall say amen, amen. Cursed be the amen, so be it. If we do this, then cursed be this and cursed be that. Nothing could be clearer. Now, as I say, this is Old Covenant, so I'm not going to bring it wholesale into the New Covenant and bring the prosperity gospel out of it, not by a long chalk, no. Nevertheless, although we live in the days of the liberty and the joy and the freedom of the New Covenant, there is in the New Testament, as I read it anyway, such a gravity, such a weight, such an emphasis. The wrath of God is still there. Obedience to the covenant, the New Covenant, is there. Obedience to the law of Christ, is written large in my Bible. I know the terms of it. I know that I must honor God by obedience to his word, not just simply talk about it, not simply like it and sing about it and chew it over. No, I've got to do it. If you know these things, John 13, if you know these things, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you, blessed are you if you do them. But of course, disobedience brings trouble. Let's come to the root of it. Unbeliever, if you will not obey the gospel, you will perish. If you do obey the gospel, that is, repent and submit to Christ and believe him, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But if you will not repent, if you refuse, this is the condemnation, that you refuse the light when the light has come into the world. Now you know your responsibility. You know your privilege. You know what's on offer. You know the curse to avoid, everlasting death. So repent and believe and trust Christ. It's very clear. That's the word I get from this, from this old covenant, cursing and blessing for Israel. That's what I get for the unbeliever today. Don't dilly-dally or don't halt between two opinions. Don't dither here. Flee to Christ from the wrath to come, and the wrath that is already here upon you, as upon all men, because we are sinners in Adam. And of course, it's for the believer too. I want to be a man of obedience. I can't say I don't know the terms of the new covenant. They are, abide in me and you'll bear much fruit is there. May God give me grace to do this, and may I have the determination to walk in the ways of God myself. And of course, the same applies to the corporate, the churches. I believe there needs a wholesale repentance and return to the covenant and return to the law of Christ. I believe we've gone far too much in our own way. Well, any step in our own way is far too much. We've gone to the world, we've gone to paganism. May God give us grace to return. Retrace our steps. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. May God bless us in this serious business. I know there's liberty and joy in the gospel, but liberty is not license, and fun is not the same as true spiritual joy. There's a gravity about the gospel, a weight about it, and it certainly comes over in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. May God give us eyes to see it, and ears to hear, and hearts to obey. Amen.